to normal around here. Vacation's done and all those things done, and we can get back to where we're supposed to be. Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5. I'm going to read this. I'm going to come back to a very familiar text of Scripture. I'm going to look at it a little bit different today. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. By the way, I've got to stop here for a second. There are people changing history, and there are people changing the Bible. My Bible does not say, he shall make your path straight. That's what the new perversions are doing. I want to tell you something. Since I got saved, my way's been any way but straight. Anybody here got some valleys you went down to, got off the road a little bit, over here and over there? He says, I will direct thy path. I'll put you where I want you to go. It might be in that valley, might be up on a hill, it might be parked by the side of the road, it might be in a rest area. But I'm going to direct him. You stand up and let people stop changing things that shouldn't be changed. The Word of God should not be changed. Amen? He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastising of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Father, thank you for this morning, this time we can gather together as we hear now towards the end of summer. Lord, we know last week there were many who heard the message on living that dynamic Christian life. And Lord, as we look at this further today, may we understand the way in which to do that. And Lord, may we just not be hearers only, but doers of your word. Not just coming in on a Sunday morning, listening on Facebook, or whatever we might do, forgetting what we've heard and then going on with our life. May we understand that your words are true, your words are right, your words are just, and your words are the only words we need for life. We thank you today. We praise you. Thank you for each one that's here this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, trusting in God. You know, I want to give you an illustration of this. Melody here. Okay, I need her for a second. Melody trusts.
Hi, beautiful. How are you? All right. I want you to stand up on that step, up there. And then I want you to jump right into my arms. Now, why does she do that? Because she trusts that I would catch her. Catch her? You're hoping. Okay. Good job. All right. That's trust. Trust is putting everything we have into something. We can trust this world and put everything we have into it. Or you can trust the Lord and put everything you have into Him. Yeah. Now you tell me which one you want to trust. See, trust is something we need, and we need to trust in God in uncertain times. Last week I brought you a message on how to live life in that fourth dimension, that dynamic area where God wants you to be. He wants you there. Do we understand that this morning? That's where God wants you. He doesn't want you down, you know, bewailing yourself and everything else. Look, sorrow comes. He put tear ducts up here so you could have those. Those things come, but we don't stay there. But how do we get there and stay there? Well, how do we get there without becoming distracted? Discouraged. See, this is distraction. This is discouragement. And that's being distraught. I gave the example last week when I would fall down the stairs. I would find myself where I did not want to be. When you are distraught, when you're discouraged, that's not where God wants you to be. I had to go in this week. I'm having a dental implant done. And I had to go in and have them check it and take stitches out and whatnot. So anyway, it's the young, the lady who was helping me there, we began to discuss things. I know what I did. I said, well, I pastor a church. I said, it was a little tough the day after you did all that work to go preach, but we did it, you know, and most people understood some of what I said. But we got to speaking, and it ends up she's a born-again believer. Amen. And we got to talking, and I talked a little bit. Look, don't leave the messages here on a Sunday.
Yeah.
If it's any good, take it out there. I did that all the time when I was working in the drug industry, and I'd take it out, and I'd talk to people I worked with and others about something, and I said, you know something? It sounds like you're discouraged. Are you still in church? No. Now you're distraught. What happened? Well, I got a job out here, and on and on and on. It says you got distracted.
Right.
Your job's, look, it's not evil that always takes you away and distracts you. It can be good stuff, can't it? We talked about that last week. I said, there's nothing wrong with your job. It's good. But it distracted from you. You worked on this, and now you find yourself, you probably got discouraged because you couldn't go as much, and now you're distraught because you're not going at all. Now, the doctor, I don't know where he went, but he was gone, and I got probably 30 minutes with this young lady. I got done, and we were going out, and this usually doesn't happen in a dentist's office, but she came over, and she gave me this great big hug, and she says, thank you, I needed you today. Everybody that was there saw it. That is nothing about me. That is everything about the Word of God not returning void. Look at, she realized, I don't want to be distraught. I don't want to be discouraged. But so stop getting distracted. Stop letting the things of earth distract you from your prayer time, from your Bible time, from attending church, doing the things you should do. Not a little sleep and a little slumber. Get yourself out of bed and get in and watch these videos and, you know, get into church and do those things. I run into folks and they say, I'm excited today. Are you excited today? It's a happy day. I don't even have any coffee, okay? Some of you need coffee and drugs to get yourself going. I just kind of wake up this way. My wife will vouch for that. That's how I go. I go in singing to my kids, it's time to rise and shine and give God the glory, glory, rise and shine. And my kids loved it when I would do that at 7 o'clock in the morning, okay? And get them all excited about the day. Aren't you excited about the day? Aren't you excited about what God does? You know, where's your heart at today? Is it with the Lord? You know, sometimes troubles come along. Family problems, health problems, work problems, financial problems. Just because you got saved doesn't mean you're not going to have issues. In fact, I'll tell you this, because you got saved, you got a whole other set of issues. That's the devil who hates you, wants to destroy your life, wants to make you miserable, and wants you down there in that discouraged and distraught stage. Because I'll tell you this, I've never seen anybody bring somebody to Christ when they're down there. Your testimony's worthless down there. But up there, now you can make a difference. Now there's a joy. We sang that song this morning. I tried to get the choir to do this. To smile. It's hard to smile when you sing. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Right? So you got to put it out there and smile and rejoice and be happy when we sing. Right?
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to get you. I'm going to wake you all up. Look at, we live in a time when people will disappoint you. They'll promise one thing and then not go through on it. They won't fulfill it. We have politicians. There are a few out there that aren't honest. Honest, I mean, I'm telling you the truth. They'll say one thing here and then say something else over there. And they'll say this and say, I never said that. And over here, it's hard to believe. But they actually, some of them, are not very honest. Do you put your trust in them? It seems like we live in a world today when everybody's out for themselves, right? We were down in Ohio years ago. We lived down there, and we were going to move from one part to another part of around the Cleveland area. We were going to build a house. Karen wanted to build a house, and I thought we had a house, but she wanted to build a house. We've never done that. So We went over and started looking at some property. We looked at this one property, and hey, that looks like really good. Room for a walkout and all those kind of things. And we had to come back to Michigan, I think my parents or something, that weekend. We came back, and on the way, we started talking and realized, you know something? They're building a grocery store right behind that property. And I know this about grocery stores. Trucks come in all hours of the night to drop stuff off and pick stuff up, and they have diesels. And they don't turn those off. Everybody know what I'm talking about? You know, it just runs and runs. Anybody ever have a neighbor that had a diesel truck and they just leave it running all night while you're trying to sleep? Right? We had one down the street from us growing up. And you just heard that rumble going all night. But anyway, we got back and we went back to the salesman because he gave us 3 days. And we said, you know something? We've decided we're not going to buy that piece of property because we're concerned about that grocery store right there. And his comment to us was this: why does everybody have to complain about that grocery store? Now, was that guy in it for us or for himself? He could care less if there was a railroad track going through the backyard, right? All he wanted was to sell some property. You ever go buy a car and the person that's selling you the car only wants to do what's best for you? If you have, I'd like to meet that salesperson next time I need a car. Right? So those people that are out for themselves, it's who can I trust? I'm going to tell you this. When Solomon wrote this, by the way, Solomon is the writer of most of the Proverbs, and he had problems staying up on that top shelf too, didn't he? He had a few issues in his own life. I love the Bible because the Bible is written about people who weren't perfect. There's only one perfect. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. The rest of them are just like us. All got their flaws, their failures. But this, as God gives them that to write, we understand this. He starts this whole thing off in verse, go back to your text, trust in the Lord, period. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to trust in Him. What a great example. Solomon found himself trusting in wealth, got him in trouble. Trusting in horses, got him in trouble. Trusting in his wives, really got him in trouble. He moved away from God. He got distracted. You know, a thousand wives will distract you. I mean, one will distract you, let alone a thousand, right? And you know, we got all these concubines and wives and all these things. We had another message for another day. Look at the application of this message. I'm going to stay on top. I want you to say it. One, two, three. I'm going to stay on top. One, two, three. I'm going to stay on top. Now, I'm going to show you how. Now, it's up to you if you want to take it and run with it, or take it, put it in the back of your Bible, and not remember it. First of all, how do we do that? Well, the Bible simply says this. There we go. The Bible simply says this: to trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Could you imagine... you're there, you're going to get married. And the man turns to the woman and says, honey, I really like you. There's a part of me that really likes you. And I think I do. I'm going to marry you. Now, if you're the woman on the other side, you're going to look at him, you're going to say, buddy, you're done, because I don't. Am I right? It's all the heart. It's not half a heart. It's all the heart. We can have no half-hearted effort. Look in your Bibles to Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Here's where it starts. That young girl trusts me with all her heart. And most of you know, this is kind of a special thing that's there. And I mean, I love all my grandkids. Something happened with that one. I'm not sure, but I think she would trust me if I put her on top of the roof and said, jump off into my arms. Understand, that's how we're supposed to trust the Lord. When we turn down the road and it doesn't look like the right road spiritually, God said, I've got you going there for a reason. Now watch. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. So I try to keep all the commandments. There's the first one. By the way, if we just kept that one, our lives would change, wouldn't it? I mean, sin would vanish away. We wouldn't want to do it because we love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. Drop down to verse 33. And to love Him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than whole burnt offerings and sacrifice. It is a total dependence upon God. It's not, God, can you help me? It's, God, you've got to do this. Because in my strength, I cannot do this. I pray, when I'm praying the Lord about our church here, I said, Lord, it's your church. I just work for you. You want to grow, you're going to have to grow it. You said you add to the church. You bring people back. You get people in here. I'll preach the gospel. I'll preach what you want me to preach. But you've got to work. You've got to do it. Because I cannot do it. But God can. Sometimes we get distracted. You ever go for a walk, and maybe you're one of those folks. I love the runners that have the buds in their ears, you know, listening to music, running along the side of the road. What I want to do is pull up right behind him and lay on the horn. Okay? Like, there were some ladies running down Beck Road, apparently, the other night. And there's a hole on Beck Road that's even bigger than the hole down here where the road collapsed right into the lake, okay? So you got to, if you haven't seen it, you got to go down there and look at it. It's a huge hole where the road has just collapsed. So anyway, they took pictures the next day. Apparently they were running and they tripped and fell. They came back the next day and there was this huge hole they could have very easily have fallen into. You know, they got distracted by the darkness. They got distracted maybe talking to each other. They got distracted not looking, and it almost cost them everything. In our faith, if you want to stay on top, folks, you're going to have to stay on top of you by not allowing yourself to get distracted. The devil will use anything. It talks about the wiles of the devil. He will use anything, any way, anyhow, anywhere to get you distracted from what you're supposed to do. He said, my time to pray is this time every day according to our pray without ceasing clock. But, you know, I got distracted. God doesn't mind if you come early. God doesn't even mind if you're a little bit late. Just do it. Right? You're going to read tonight when we bring a message on a church in Philadelphia, not here, over there. But on a church in Philadelphia, you're going to find out there were a church that basically just did it. They just do it. Like Nike said, just do it. It's not us, it's not our talents, it's not our beliefs, it's not our skills, it's all about God. Look at Romans 11, chapter 33. Do you know God made you to depend upon Him? Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. You know what that is when you read that? That's a wow moment in your Bible. Okay? It's a wow moment. It's the first time I met Karen, it was a wow moment. Okay? You have wow moments? Yeah, it's a wow moment. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Let me tell you something. You're going to get ambushed. You know the devil likes to ambush you, right? Our kids, sometimes they'll hide under where they learned this habit. It's a bad habit. And they'll hide around a corner. And when I walk around, they'll go, "Wah!" Right? It's probably a personality defect that we'll have to work on. But listen to me. Devil's going to ambush you. He's not going to walk up and say, "Hey, I'm going to get you distracted today. Would you mind if you just fall into the distraction with me?" Devil doesn't work that way. All of a sudden, you find yourself distracted. I crossed that road. I had a number of things on my mind. I was thinking of something I had to get done and had to get up to church right away to work on the sound system and stuff. And I wasn't focusing on driving. I wasn't texting. I wasn't on my phone. I was someplace else. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants you to get someplace else. Look at James chapter 1 in verse 17. I want you to understand this today. Fully, thoroughly, clearly get it. James 1:17. God is the source of everything good in your life. It's not you. It's God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It's God, folks, that's brought stuff. And what we need to do is, we'll see this as we go through this, we need to understand that God made us dependent upon Him. God wants us to believe and watch what He is doing. Do you ever just stop and watch God? I tell you what, I watched God yesterday. I watched Him stop that car. I've lived on that corner. 1952, my parents moved in there. In 1974, I got married. We had a pile of blankets by our back door that we used to take out to accident victims. We've had a semi-truck run over a car of older ladies. We had a guy thrown from his car, and his teeth marks are still in the telephone pole. They tried a stop sign. They tried a four-way stop. They tried blinking lights. They tried everything. And we had a police car hit another car so hard, it sent that car. I was riding my bike around a corner. It hit that car so hard, it flew into what now would be two apartment buildings in the air and landed down. God protected us because that's what God does. That's what God does. Look at trust in the Lord 100%. Keep looking down in our text. Trust the Lord. By the way, I capitalize the Lord because the Lord, this is Jehovah. This is Yahweh. This is the God of gods, the great creator God, the God who made you. That's who you're supposed to trust in. He's telling these folks, look, you need to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. He goes on, he says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him, first of all, listen, folks, as the Lord. I hear people all the time, hey, I believe in God. Anybody witness? They say, well, I believe in God. I believe in God. I believe in God. You know the devils believe in God? And they tremble. Do you know the demons? How many times are demons mentioned in your Bible?
Zero.
Zero, that's right. It's always devils. Demons, that word is not used in the Bible. So look at this. So these devils, that workers for Satan, they believe, they tremble. When Jesus came to cast out the demons, they asked Jesus if it was time for them now to go to hell or what was going on, if you come before your time. And they recognized, they knew who God was. We need to acknowledge the fact who God really is. I've given you a few things here. I'll share them in just a minute as we go through this. He's the creator, the sustainer God, the creator God, the judging God. He's the one, when if someone out there, you refuse to put your faith and trust in Christ here, you will one day. Because you'll stand face to face, according to the book of Philippians chapter 2, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. If you wait till then, it'll be too late, and you'll have an eternity in hell. But if you do it before, you'll see Him as your Savior, your God, your Father, your ruler, the one true God. What we need to do, folks, is take some time and start thinking on these things. First of all, my God is omnipotent. Do you know God has bigger muscles than I do?
Yeah.
It's hard to believe, isn't it? I wear these jackets just to hide that, okay? And so I have quadriceps on over here. But my God is omnipotent. That means He is absolutely all powerful. There is nothing my God can't do but sin. He has all the strength that I need to get through. He is omnipotent. That's what that word means. All powerful. My God is all knowing. He's omniscient. You know, my God knew I was going to get to that traffic light before I did, and He knew what I was going to do before I did, and He took care of everything. That's what God does. God doesn't go, oh, that was close. I didn't know that happened. Hey, why don't you guys tell me about that? That's not our God, folks. Our God knows what's happened before it happens. He is all-knowing. Do you think he knows where you're at right now? Where your health is? Where your finances are? What's going on at work? Do you think he knows those things? I think he does. So why don't we just acknowledge him as God and say, God, what are you going to do? What do you want me to do in these circumstances, in these situations? You're the Lord. You're omnipotent. You're omniscient. You're omnipresent. You're everywhere. Where shall I run from thy spirit, the Bible says. And David, there's no way I can go. You can't hide from God. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden? They hid themselves from God. And God says, wherefore art thou? Right? You know, use an illustration. Natalie, come here. Now, I could sit there, and Natalie's standing right in front of me, right? But I'm going, where are you, Natalie? I haven't seen you, Natalie. Where'd you go? Where are you? You think I could see her? She's right there, isn't she? Yeah. Here's God saying, hey, where are you? He knew where they were. He goes, oh, thanks. He knew where they were. I love my grandkids. All my stuff I get to do with them. I can't do that with others. I had one fellow, he used to sit up here, and I would do that sometimes. He got so mad, he went and sat in the back. Okay? And that's how I am. But understand something. God wants your heart. I don't know if you came here this morning saying, God, I want my heart open to you. You take it. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's everywhere, all-knowing with all strength. That's your God. Can you trust in him? Peter said it when Jesus asked if he'd turn and go too. He said, where are we going to go? If I don't have you, where are we going to go? Who else has the words of salvation? Where else are you going to turn? Why do you want to get distracted, go down to the next step when all the good stuff's on the top step? Let me read Psalm 55:17, then I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Evening and morning, and at noontime I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Is that your God? He hears your prayers. He hears you cry out. He's a loving, he's a caring God, and he's a holy God. But understand something about God. Psalm Isaiah 55, start in verse 6. He says this, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways. Talk about the unsaved here. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him. And to our God. And for he will abundantly pardon. Now watch. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, and so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. That means useless. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God says this, stop trying to figure it out and just follow what I'm telling you. The Holy Spirit inside of you is going to speak to you. He's going to give you direction. Am I right? Right. Our problem is we don't pray enough. We don't seek God's face. We don't ask him, I need an answer. We run out and try and do it ourselves. Why? He's omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. He's immutable. It means he doesn't change. He's not a revisionist. What he gave us in the Bible is what we have, and it's fitted man for all of man's existence. Am I right? Help me out. Am I right? Stay awake. Stay with me. Come on. Yeah. I can trust in God. I need to acknowledge, by the way, I need to acknowledge His holiness. Be holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. When we acknowledge God's holiness, maybe holiness will start coming back into our lives. Be holy, for I am holy. Keep going on this. The Bible tells us, and back in Proverbs chapter 3, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You know, God gave us the Holy Spirit. I was speaking with somebody the other day, kind of texting back and forth. I told him, you know something? Unsaved people don't understand this book. That's why unsaved people don't mind changing it to try and make it words they understand. The Bible was written for God's people, not God's creation, God's children. If you've been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, this book's for you. If you've never been saved, the first step is to come to Him by faith, repenting of your sin, asking Him to save your soul. You got to get into the family before the book makes any sense. I could go out and, you know, I've been to funerals and sometimes I don't know the person, and on the board they'll have the video going, and I'm watching the video and it's really interesting, except I don't understand any of it. I don't know who that person is. I don't know who that is. I don't know who they are. Don't know that. You know, it's good, but I don't understand it. God gave us His book, and in His book He says, I gave you the Holy Spirit. I've given you a comforter, the Holy Spirit, that will guide you into all truth. He'll help you understand the deeper things. It's the Holy Spirit that giveth understanding. That's what the Bible said. So how many times when we read our Bible, when we start to get a little distracted by things, do we forget the fact that the Holy Spirit is right there teaching us what the Bible has to say? We don't depend enough on Him. He is the standard bearer. And I don't know if I have a picture. I do, down below there. You see a little picture? Well, you're the standard bearer. I'll be back. I don't go anywhere. Yes. This is the American flag. I think it's still okay for us to have, hopefully. When an army went to war, the standard bearer's job was to move them forward. And what he would do is he'd take that, this is a standard, and he would stand there with that flag, with that bearer, whatever he had, and the army was supposed to come up to where he was, and they would fight, and they would win, and they would move forward, and they would fight, and they would win. You know what's happened today? We've taken and gone the other way. The standard bearer, we keep moving things backwards. We don't move forward, we move backwards. We need to understand the Holy Spirit is my standard bearer. And I'm going to go where He tells me to go. I'm going to do what He tells me to do. I'm going to say what He tells me to say. Because He is the standard bearer. He's the one that I follow. There's no retreating. There's no stepping back. There's no backsliding. You move forward. Because if you don't, you will get distracted walking backwards. You will trip and fall. You'll become discouraged. And then you will become distraught. The Holy Spirit is our standard bearer. He's the one that we're supposed to follow. He's the one that's going to guide us, teach us, lead us into all truth. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing. You want to stay up on that top? Then take some time. The Bible tells us to depart from evil and do good. Let Him direct you. I guarantee this, the devil will take you into evil, but the Holy Spirit will never do that to you. He will never tell you it's okay to tell a lie. He'll never tell you it's okay to steal something. He'll never tell you it's okay to break the Word of God. He will never tell you that. Psalm 119, verse 11 says this, Thy Word have I hidden my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Jeremiah called the heart desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? Look at, don't follow your heart. I hear people say, well, I'm just going to follow my heart. That's dangerous, folks. You follow the Holy Spirit. You follow what He does. And when you start to get a little discouraged, you turn to Him and say, Holy Spirit, I need your direction. I don't understand what's going on right now. I was talking to my wife yesterday, and we had some time prayer for our church. And I said, you know something? as I've been reading, I work for God. I'm not employed by New Life Bible Baptist Church. I'm employed by God. Now, when he's done, he wants me to retire, that's up to him. But for right now, I work for him. That's the one I have to please. I said, I'll prepare the best message I can do that he gives to me. I'm going to come and preach it. And if one person shows up, that one person might get something. Understand something. Our life is God's. You want to stay on that top shelf, then what we need to do is depart from evil and do good and follow the Lord. He says verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. What does it mean to depart from evil? It means to depart from evil, right? You know, I used to part my hair on this side, now my hair is just departing. If you don't get that, somebody will explain it to you later, so just, you know, in our life, we can let a lot of things distract us from this very thought. You kneel down to pray and somebody calls you on the phone. Your beeper goes off, whatever it might be, something happens. The devil starts robbing you of your thoughts and you're not focused. I want a dynamic Christian life. Flee from youthful lusts, we're told in 2 Timothy 2:22. Look at verse 8 of your text. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Do you know, back in the biblical times, they didn't even understand really what marrow was. Let me ask you something today. If you come Wednesday night, you'll know. Where is your blood made in your body? Where is it made? It's made in the bone marrow, in the marrow. 25 million new cells every minute are remade in that bone marrow. God knew what marrow was because the life is where? It's in the blood. Yeah. Don't let the scientists say we've got the answers. God had the answers before they knew the questions. Our Creator God promises to honor the commitment to Him. Now, let's keep going. Trust the Lord by giving Him preeminence. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. God is not a priority in my life. You get that? In fact, by the way, I had a man tell me one time, he says, I've got all my ducks in order, I got all my priorities, but they're the wrong priorities. Do you know you can have everything in order? You can look like you got it all together, but if you got the wrong priorities, you're in a problem. Here's Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, speaking about the supremacy of Christ in this whole text. Nothing was created without him. Look at, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have what? Preeminence. He's not a priority on your checklist. He's above everything. His holy priesthood is above everything. It's everything we have in life. Jesus Christ is more important in my life than my family, than my wife, than my job, than anything I do. You know, my relationship with Christ is more important than me being a pastor. Because if I got a lousy relationship with him, I can't pastor you. And if I got a lousy relationship with him, I can't be a good husband. I can't be a good father or grandfather. I can't be a good friend if I don't have the right relationship with him. You want to stay up there. In our society today, look at, it's pretty much put yourself first. Give yourself congratulations and praise. Lift yourself up. Years ago, I worked for a drug company, the same one that made OxyContin. But anyway, we had a drug called CardioQuin, which is a drug for cardiac arrhythmias. And I had a guy working for me in Columbus. The poor guy was about as exciting as a bullfrog in the middle of the afternoon underneath a tree, okay? And he showed up at one of my meetings one time, 2 hours late. I didn't even miss him, okay? We were driving from Columbus down someplace else. I said, how long does it usually take to get to Cleveland? He said, oh, about 4 hours. I said, 4 hours? He goes, yeah, well, you know, by the time you get the kids in the car and they got to go back in and go to the bathroom and then you get a ways and I got where he was going to go. Stop and get something to eat. You get where I'm coming from, right? Well, he had made this tremendous sale to Ohio State University on a drug called CardioQuin, and it was fabulous. So they asked him, said, Don, how did you do it? He goes, well, I was in the bathroom, and I couldn't get to the phone. So I asked my wife to take a message, and that was the message that they had switched over to CardioQuin. Is that exciting? Huh? There's a guy, he would give himself no credit for anything. He was going to the bathroom when they did it, right? And it wasn't a wonder, right? So we understand here, listen, in this life, we have people who are quick to give themselves praise and glory and honor and lift themselves up. We have award ceremonies so people can get trophies and everything else. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. I don't need a reward down here. I don't need a congratulations down here. All those things will be in heaven. He says, great is your reward up there. You know what's going to knock you off that step is when somebody doesn't say, wow, you did a great job. Wow, you're the best. I can't believe you're so good. And we're going to get upset. And we're going to get jealous. And we're going to get mad. And before we know it, we're distracted because we're focusing on what they're not doing for us. We lose focus on what God did for us. And pretty soon we're discouraged. And by the way, it does not take too long to get down off the discouraged shelf down to the distraught shelf. The supremacy of Christ. More than just a priority in your life. When we do well at work, we get rewarded with money and different things like that. And God says this. Look at verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance. And with thy first fruits of all thine increase. You know, tithing is still in the Bible. Still, it wasn't taken out. Somebody said, it's under the law. Actually, it was before the law. If you knew your Bible, it was there before the law. It's there during the law. It's there after the law. You fight with God over that. He says this, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. He simply says this, you want to stay on top? Let me reward you. Let me take care of you. Let me handle things. About 4 years ago, we were on the other side of town and somebody threw a brick through the back of our car window. Apparently, they'd done this to about 20 cars. I had to go over to court and they caught the guy who did it and whatnot, and they had to make restitution. I forgot all about it. I forgot all about it. They had to make restitution. I just thought, we'll never see a dime from them. I opened the mail yesterday and it was a check for $130. Later this week, restitution 4 years later. That's what God does. He just sends it at the right time. He probably said, look, you're probably going to waste that money if I give it to you now, so I'll give it to you in 4 years. Right? You know, God says, look, you let me take care of you. Your barns will be filled with plenty. Your presses shall burst out with new wine. You're going to have a great life. But I'm preeminent in your life. Finally. I believe it's a finally. It is. We trust in the Lord by resting in Him. We're restless people, aren't we? Right? Oh, Lord, I pray you'd make me better looking. Oh, that still didn't do it, okay? Where's the makeup? Where's the eyeshadow? Where's the hair stuff? Where's that? Where's this? My wife said when I do those little video things, I'll do them a couple, two or three times a week now, and just a couple minutes. Just I'm going to call it a daily uplift, okay? You watch it. It's all going to be uplifting. I hope it is, as long as you didn't watch yesterday while Joelle and I were trying to get things worked out. But it's going to be totally uplifting. But she told me this, honey, stay further away from the camera. You look better. I said, would the next room work? That would work, okay? Here's our problem. We get restless with God. God doesn't answer the prayer right away. God doesn't take care of it. Lord, I don't like that person. You got to wipe them out. Why don't you wipe them out, right? This whole idea of resting. How many in here have absolutely no problem going to sleep at night? There's a few of us. When I lay down, I'm going to tell you something. I am gone. My wife's the same way. I mean, I don't know if it takes 2 minutes for the two of us to go out. Gone. She says, I'll race you to sleep. Too late, okay? That's called resting. You know, when I'm resting, I'm really resting. My mind is out there somewhere. Maybe some dreams come in from here and there, but I'm just resting. Everything is relaxed, right? God says, why don't you rest in me? We've got a few minutes left. I'm going to give you a few verses. I want you to turn to them. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 12. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Our God says this, rest in me. I'll point what's right. If it's wrong, I'll correct it. You know, discipline isn't just this. Correcting isn't, what are you that for? I remember I was in high school and I was teaching my beloved wife, my friend at the time, to drive a stick shift. We were crossing a four-lane highway with a turn lane this way. And as she put it in, you know, we're kind of doing this and the car kind of, you know, right? And I softly and gently, you can ask her. I said, honey, push in the clutch. Let it out slow and step on the gas. Slow on the clutch, slow on the gas. You know, if I would start yelling at her, she would have got frustrated, quit, and we would have got slammed by three cars, right? So she slowly did that. That's what God does. God isn't looking to put you over his knee and spank you. God is looking to gently, lovingly guide you into what you should be doing and away from what you shouldn't be doing. Our problem is we get so deep in trouble, sometimes we need a swat. Am I right? Yeah. We read James 1, every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above. Matthew chapter 7 talks about how great a father he is to us. I can rest in him. I remember when I was young and I could rest in the arms of my dad. I miss him in a couple years. But I remember I just lean up against him. I felt secure and safe just resting in his arms. He put that arm around me. That's what God wants. Would you stop worrying? He says, I'm up all night. I'll worry for you. We need to stop worrying. We need to put our cares on him. You want to stay on the top shelf, folks. You got to give it to God. And when you give it to him, don't take it back. Right? Lord, I got this struggle in my life, and I don't know what to do with this struggle in my life. I know what I'll do. I'll give it to you, Lord. Just in case. Isn't that what we do? Just of course, in case you don't have time for me right now. My God's omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, immutable. My God always has time for me. Look at Psalm chapter 91, verse 2. Psalm 91, verse 2. If you're in Proverbs, you shouldn't have too far to go. Psalm 91 and verse 2. Look at, he is a father to us. We can rest in him. Psalm 91 and verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. By the way, when you read the Bible, do you just read it? I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my strength, my fortress, and in whom I trust. Sometimes we read up here, I like to put a little emphasis on different syllables, right? But he says here, I will say of the Lord, he and he alone is my refuge. It's to him I go to. Right? Let me hear it. My fortress. We saw the walls of Jericho when we were on a trip over to Israel. And they were wide enough to put a chariot on top of those things and ride across them. It wasn't like our little drywall stuff here. These were walls, folks. Most fortified city in the world at the time was the city of Jericho. Of course, God brought the walls down. He says, right here, the psalmist says, you are my fortress. I'm safe within your walls. I'm safe to do whatever you want with me. He is my God, and in him will I trust. I'm not going to trust in chariots. I'm not going to trust in other things. I'm going to trust in God. He is my refuge. Psalm 46 and verse 1. Two more verses will be done this morning. Time to pray. Thank you. Okay. Psalm 46 and verse 1. That doesn't mean it's time to close. It means it's my prayer time at noon. Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our what? Refuge. And strength, a very present help in trouble. You ever notice people never cry out for God when all is going well? I never get a call and say, could you come to the hospital and pray with me? I got a well checkup and everything's good. I never get that call. Right? When we're in trouble, folks, God says this, you want to stay on that top shelf? Trouble's going to come. I guarantee trouble will come. You may be in trouble right now, but you want to stay up there. He is my help in time of trouble. He's my fortress. He is my rock. He is my strength. And in him will I trust. I'm done with worry. I'm done with fretting. It's God's. My life is God's. Whatever is left, it's his. This church, it's God's. My family, it's God's. We need to refocus, folks. Or we're going to stay down there with the distraught and discouragement and distractions and never get back up to that top shelf. I don't know about you. I like life on the top shelf. That's where God wants you. And finally, one more verse. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 and look at the last part of that verse. God says, rest in me. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation, that is your entire lifestyle, not just your words, it's even more than your words, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Here's where you're going to get in trouble, is when you start wanting more than God thinks you should have. That's where trouble is going to come in.
That's right.
Not happy with your wife, you want another one. Not happy with your husband, you want another one. Not happy with your job, you want another one. Not happy with this, you want another one. It's always another one, another one, another one. Or I want more. I want a bigger house, car. I want a bigger house. I want more, I want more, I want more, I want more. That will totally distract you from God. He says, you be content with what I've given to you, because I know exactly what you need. When the Apostle Paul cried out to God for healing, three times he asked that God would remove this thorn in the flesh, which we believe was bad eyesight. I can identify with Paul. God said, no. My grace is sufficient for thee. You know, God knew, maybe if I give Paul his eyesight, this stuff starts going to head and all those big crowds that come and hear him preach are all going to get to his head. I'm going to keep him underneath me, because that's where he's the most valuable to me. One day when you get to heaven and you see the Apostle Paul, say, was it rough not being able to see? Paul's just going to laugh. He'll tell you it's the best thing that ever happened to me, because it kept me closer to God. A dynamic Christian life. It's right there. And it's all in that one word, trust. Trust in God. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. Our pianist comes this morning. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. I'm going to do one more thing before you play. The preacher did this years ago. And we're going to help you a little bit here. Okay? This side is the human side. This side is God's side. Okay? So I want this side to sit down. This side stay up. We're going to practice this a couple times. Okay? You're going to say, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Do it.
In all thy ways acknowledge him.
Okay, stand up. And you sit down. And he will direct thy paths.
And he will direct thy paths.
You got it? Okay. Here we go. Everybody seated. Sit back down. You're going to get this. It's going to stay in your cranium forever. Right? Right. Here we go. Stand. Good. Let's do it again. We got it? Your job is to acknowledge him. His job is to direct your paths. Stay out of his way. and let him do what he's going to do. We got it? Let's stand. You're here this morning, maybe you've been struggling with some things. Maybe you got distracted. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you're down. Maybe you're distraught. Listen to me. God does not want you there. Maybe what we need to do is get back to a holy altar and say, God, put me back on the top shelf. And Lord, by your strength, your refuge, your fortress, your guidance, I will stay there. No matter what the circumstances of life. Because I want to be where you want me to be. Maybe you just need to come and pray today. If you've never trusted in Christ, you need to come take care of that first. Whatever the reason, maybe you just want to come and pray, you come. Father, we come before you today. And indeed, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him, in you, will I trust. Pray today, Lord, that your word has touched the hearts of those that are here. Lord, maybe they're struggling with some things. It's just time to come and spend some time with you at an altar. There'd be any here that are unsaved, may they come and repent and turn to you today. There's those still watching, Lord, may they do the same. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Christians pray. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He will make them straight, but he'll direct them.